since 1876 in Canada, there's been a law called the Indian Act. That act basically had kind of schizophrenic objectives. On one hand, it was supposed to protect Indians. On the other hand, it was supposed to assimilate them. And there were sections in the Indian Act that allowed the Minister of Indian Affairs, the Crown, basically, to apprehend children and take them away to residential schools. And the idea was to assimilate them. The quote that's been used here in Canada is, take the Indian out of the children.
Were they allowed to have any contact with their families?
It depends on their proximity to their homes. Some children got to go home at Christmas and places like that. There were reports I've seen over the last couple of days where survivors have said they were away for 9 years of their life.
So what kind of social impacts did the policy have?
Well, it led to the loss of language and culture, the loss of parenting skills. You know, it contributed, I would say, to some assimilation of Canadian Indians into, you know, the Canadian society. Led to a lot of social problems. You know, a lot wound up on skid row with drug and alcohol problems. And then it's intergenerational because a lot of that grieving has been passed on from, you know, grandparents to parents to children. So there's still a lot of social problems today which are associated with that policy.
How was the apology received generally?
Generally, I think it was accepted as a good first step. There were five national Aboriginal leaders in the House of Commons in the Parliament today that were allowed to speak, which is unusual. The Prime Minister gave the apology, and each of the leaders of the opposing parties got to make statements. They all gave apologies, and then the leaders of the five national Aboriginal organizations got to make statements in response, and they all accepted the apology, although a couple of them did say that there needs to be more done for the people to, you know, to help correct the problems that have been caused as a result of the policy.
Now, I'm sure you're aware that we've recently had an apology in Australia to the Stolen Generations, and that was like, at the time, you know, it was a very emotional day for the country, really. Would you say it was similar to that in Canada?
Yes, I would say that, but again, I would say it's met with a mixed response, because generally speaking, I think it's been accepted, but the view is that it's not enough, and I guess that's where this Truth and Reconciliation Commission is going to have a large task in front of it.
So if you're going to draw parallels between the two countries, where are we in relation to each other in terms of Indigenous rights?
There have been, it seems, from my observation, some advances in law in Australia around Aboriginal title, as there are in Canada. But also it seems to be that the executive branches of the governments don't seem to be listening to the judicial branches too much, and it's hard to get policy changes to get things changing on the ground, I think, both in Australia and Canada. And that's where there's a lot of frustration, I think. I don't know about Australia, but in Canada we do have blockades and demonstrations and protests, and, you know, some of our leaders are just arrested for blocking mining. There's been blockades of forestry activities and that were done without consent. So the land and resource issues are big issues here in Canada. We have large oil and gas developments in Alberta. And there are Aboriginal groups in Alberta now starting to argue about the health impacts of, like, the tar sands causing cancers and that's what they're starting to say. There's a linkage.